Item number four, Org Unit 1020, Government Affairs, page 66.
Good morning, Chairman and Supervisors. I'm Eric Peterson, Intergovernmental Relations Liaison for the County Executive. You have already discussed the breadth of most of the office's budget, of the Office of Government Affairs. Just briefly, our office concentrates on partnerships with our local, state, and federal partners. My esteemed colleague, Jamie Kuhn, who under Act 14 represents and serves at the interest of the board, is in Madison today with the special session happening of the in the Assembly and Senate. And I'm here to answer questions as you would have them. You will note, again, as Ms. Marine's, Dr. Marine said, an equal two staff, equal salary positions. I think both, as have been explained to me, subject to the JEQ and to our distinct traits and skills and knowledges that we bring to our office, and then also a $55,000 supply and sundry budget. I'll happy to answer any questions.
I just have a question, perhaps, of the budget director. You know, we're hearing a lot over the past few days about the JEQ, and I just wonder what, and maybe this is a question for Dr. Colton also, what do you view as the board's authority, for lack of a better word? Do you expect sort of the JEQ reports to just come and we have to accept that you're going to raise all these salaries, or do we have the ability to just reject it or change it in any way?
Chairman, I believe the Director of Human Resources is putting together a memo describing the JEQ process and how they're going to handle the results of that analysis.
Okay, well, maybe you're the, maybe since you're the government affairs person, maybe you can tell me if Act 14 had any impact on that type of issue, in your opinion.
Not that I'm aware of, sir. I believe that, and I'm going to give you my own opinion and understanding, and not that of the executives, having had some time with Act 14. It is my understanding that in setting a budget, if you were to adopt this salary, that would certainly be the range and the top salary that could be paid for those positions. But then if the county, by policy, whether that happens through the executive office or in conjunction with the board, the JEQ would help to define the range and then be paid out from that. But I will not, again, speak for the HR director because I'm not sure of that process.
And then just to sort of further the discussion a little bit, we heard in speaking to the county executive about the community relations director.
Mm-hmm.
So just to use that position as an example, they're using the JEQ as a reason to, and Mr. Tyler's here, maybe he can answer too, as a reason to change that salary level for the next person. Again, do we have to accept that? Can we reject it? Can we leave it at current at 2013 levels?
No, I have not been briefed, sir, about how that process will work from the HR director. My conversations with Dr. Marine were simply with Ms. Kuhn as well, all three of us together, about how we would work as an office. So I do not know how salaries will be set after the JEQ comes. I think Dr. Colton has said that HR hasn't provided that, at least to me yet, to be able to tell you.
Your perspective, if you could get someone in your office, which would be you, if you can, you know, research Act 14 and see if you think there's any implication from Act 14 into what the relationship between the board and the executive should be on that kind of type of issue.
Supervisor Cullen, if I may on that, I appreciate that, and I'm going to direct that research request to my colleague, Jamie Kuhn, who represents your interests and works on those requests in relation with legislation to that. So,
well, with all due respect, I'd like to hear the county executive's position on it.
I certainly will bring it to the county executive and work with him.
Maybe reflect it through you, because I think sometimes someone from the board and someone from the county exec staff might have different interpretations.
That's correct.
So we might get Director Mitchell come in here and say, well, under Act 14, now you've got to accept the JEQ. There's nothing we can do. You've got to pay this person 31F. You can't pay them. And even if Jamie said no, I think Director Mitchell would say, not too bad, we're doing it. So I would appreciate a response from the administration on what they view.
I will do that. I will work with Corp Counsel and our administration on that.
Okay, thank you. Supervisor Jerzyk?
Yep. Well, and the last comment, I think, is the question that that I was going to, which is when you and Ms. Kuhn have disagreements.
Correct.
Who do you see as the person who responds to that disagreement? Your comment was corp counsel, apparently.
Well, and we have a very clear understanding from corp counsel, and actually we have a partner in the city of Milwaukee who has this this model of government affairs right now. So let me explain this, not in the concept of disagreement about the enactment of Act 14, but let's go to about a bill at the legislature that we may disagree on, or
any policy.
Correct.
Because
so,
you're going to have these will come up.
Sure, and they will. And the city of Milwaukee, so I can explain this relationship they have, has an intergovernmental relations department, which is an executive-level department, of which there is a lobbyist that works for the interest of the Common Council. But they maintain one principle, the city of Milwaukee. We, in our discussions, will continue to maintain one principle, the county of Milwaukee, Milwaukee County, so that we don't have the Milwaukee County executive on the GAB reports to the legislature up arrow or down arrow and the county board up arrow or down arrow. Where we disagree, we will simply put the question mark, which is quite common in lobbying speak up in Madison, and then represent both of our principals' interests under Act 14 as they are. There will be times when we disagree, I'm quite sure of it, where, you know, the direction of the board and the direction of the executive are different, and we represent them individually to the folks in Madison. We've also committed, Ms. Kuhn and I, to continue communication and to understand as soon as possible where we will disagree and how we can possibly come to agreement between our principals. But, of course, we have different processes. Certainly, I work simply for the interests of the executive versus, you know, the ordinances that prescribe the policies of the board and the direction the board is wishing to lobby on matters.
You are familiar with the Attorney General's recent opinion, Van Hollen. Who's the policymaker of this county?
The policymaking body of the county is the county board. However, as the Attorney General does state, that there is, and while lobbying is a policymaking function, Act 14 did remove the executive from, I don't want to call it the burden, but the role of the county board in that policymaking in regards to his own interest. And Act 14 is clear on that. I've talked with Paul Barger and our corp counsel about that, about my role is differently understood than the policymaking function of lobbying.
And I think you're clear also that when that happens, you are there representing the county exec.
That is correct,
not
right.
Milwaukee County.
That is correct.
So
it is, yep.
That, I think you and I are on the same page.
We are, Supervisor.
I am hopeful that we will more often than not have you and Ms. Kuhn on the same page.
Yep.
That is in the interest of the citizens of Milwaukee County, and that we don't have these policy disagreements too often between the county exec and the county board, because after all, we're all hopefully here for the same purpose. And that truly is I'm very sincere about that. In terms of the, there are two positions in this org unit, you and Jamie Kuhn, correct?
That's correct.
Is there a pecking order there as far as the management?
We are equal. There is, I will call it, the coordination and management of administrative issues. I am not Jamie Kuhn's appointing authority. I do not have employment decisions. I don't have the answer to who does that, but I know I don't. Okay? But I do have the job, per the county executive, of administering the sundry budget and the supplies, providing for authorizing the reimbursements for Ms. Kuhn and myself, you know, for travel or such, and parking and those things, and then also maintaining the principal registration with the Government Accountability Board.
Okay. Could you, I wasn't familiar with you when you came here.
Sure.
Could you just very briefly tell me where you
Absolutely.
Previously were?
I've been in the state capitol for 8 years before I came here. Most recently as chief of staff to Senator Lena Taylor for about 6.5 years. Before that, I was with Fair Wisconsin during the 2006 campaign, statewide campaign, as you know. And then before that, I started in the assembly, actually, when Supervisor Cohen and Supervisor Staskunas were there, working for Representative Barbara Gronimus and Dave Travis, two Democrats in the state assembly in 2005. Before that, I was home in my hometown of Amory, Wisconsin, which, if you ever seen the Wisconsin map, Amory's up there. Small farm town of about 2,800 people, more cows than people, and spent a wonderful time working on my family's farm and in radio.
And your current residence is?
I'm in Milwaukee. I'm Supervisor Cullen's constituent. I live on 56 and North in the Uptown neighborhood. So enjoying Milwaukee. I love this city and have loved to come to know it.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Supervisor Lipscomb?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want a clarification on this idea that, you know, you will represent only the position of the county executive. I understand that in times of disagreement,
mm-hmm.
that you would represent him,
right.
that you might communicate his position, his individual position,
right.
not the position of the county. But one of the problems, as I've seen it in terms of the two branches working together on these policy issues and lobbying, has been that the administration hasn't brought down a single item of legislative interest where they sought to establish a policy of Milwaukee County. I served as the IGR chair, and not a single item came from the administration saying, let's lobby on this issue. Let's establish the policy of Milwaukee County for or against any issue. Seems to me that was the breakdown. It wasn't possible to establish it was possible, but it was ignored. The procedure for doing that was simply not used, and so it often left us at odds. Is it your expectation that you will bring issues of countywide importance, legislative issues, to the IGR committee, seeking to establish a position of the county?
As so directed by the executive, yes. I think we were very clear with Ms. Kuhn the other day, and I don't want to sound like I'm evading your answer, because I'm not. I don't have any direction at this point to bring a matter to the IGR committee to bring forward to make the policy of the county. But as we talked with Ms. Kuhn, items where we do agree and where, you know, the IGR committee and the county board has passed a resolution to create the policy to endorse or oppose such legislation, we will represent that as Milwaukee County. I think we're caught up in the disagreement. It is my hope, personally, that Ms. Kuhn and I can work together to do such things. I think you look back at the long history of IGR, and again, I'm speaking just from my rudimentary understanding of Milwaukee County as an outsider looking in. I would highly doubt that County Executive Walker in his time would have sent many resolutions to the board, given the differences of political agreement between those two entities. I don't know that County Executive Abley has sent many. I'm not sure. I'm just speaking from what little understanding I have. But I hope for the future that we can work together in a better way to do that. That said, I also encouraged Ms. Kuhn that as supervisors have policy positions they want to make, to have the board act on them. That is how we understand that the board makes its policy known, is through the provisions in Chapter 1 and Chapter 7 of the ordinances. So that, you know, certainly it's not just we as the executive office that must introduce those resolutions, but 18 other duly elected members of this county as well.
Yeah, I think in my experience, Mr. Chairman, that is the process we've generally followed. And so it would be my understanding that we have an adopted legislative platform on a whole series of issues, and that is the county position on all of those issues.
That is correct. I have to review that. I think what Act 14 changes and the opinion of the Attorney General changes is, again, the direction from the county executive about that adopted. I don't know. I can't answer the question if the county exec signed that resolution or if it is simply a board action. I don't know. I can't answer what the direction of my principal is in that on that package at this point. But I've certainly received it from Ms. Kuhn, and I am reviewing it, and I think many of those things are probably in agreement on.
Supervisor Bowen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have two questions. Welcome to Milwaukee County, Eric.
Thank you. It's good to be here. A whole month.
Sounds like you're happy to be here, so that's good.
I am.
So my question is understanding how this relationship will work. Will you, as a intergovernmental liaison to the executive, be attending IGR committee meetings for the board?
I will be attending, yes. However, in our, as discussed with Ms. Kuhn in our principal role, it is her job to report to that committee and to the board, just as mine. I will be happy to answer questions of that. I do not intend to sit at the table. I'll probably be sitting in the galley observing those meetings.
Okay. Will the policy positions of the county executive be made public?
Well, certainly, absolutely, when we register on things, they'll have to be made public and such like that. I think the difference in understanding this is sort of a unique role created by Act 14 is that it does not require a process of announcing the policy positions prior to us making them public. So if you understand, there's no formalized process of IGR approval for his positions unless submitted to that, is my understanding.
Okay. In the true spirit of working together, I'd like to see a similar process. The board has a legislative packet that we approve every year. I'd love to see something, even if it's from the county executive's office, released at the same time, so we can see where we clearly agree and disagree, and that the public can see that as
right.
well.
And we certainly will see where we agree and disagree as issues arise and such. I mean, we will, our principals will inform us of positions and such, and be able to communicate that. I think the benefit for the people of Milwaukee County in terms of a legislative agenda always usually comes, it's created around the election time of an even-numbered year, and then released at the beginning of an odd-numbered year to go out and be a part of that first part of a legislative session. The county executive has the unique role here and the ability to comment and to help modify and such his agenda as it goes forward throughout the year. But certainly we will work to coordinate those things as much as we can. And we discuss that about who will communicate bills as we receive co-sponsorship memos to whom, recognizing our individual powers and principalities.
And I understand that. But I also agree with the sentiments of Supervisor Lipscomb in saying let's be proactive in addressing the things that we want to lobby on. Let's be proactive on the things that we could possibly work together on. And I think the creating that legislative packet together, or creating our own packet, your own packet at the same time, we'll be able to have that synergy. And I'd like to have a process where not only you're in the room, but actually at the table too. I think the ability of both of our liaisons being able to work together for synergy purposes. And efficiency would be important.
Okay, thank you,
Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As a practical matter, Mr. Peterson.
Yes.
When an IGR agenda comes forward, before you attend those meetings, would you not consult with Dr. Colton, Dr. Marine, as far as the agenda is concerned? Or, in other words, would you go to the meeting basically having your own ideas as to what the items are about? What I'm looking for is any consultation with anyone before you get to the IGR meeting. So that if you are asked with respect to what is the position of the county executive's office, you have some sense as to how to respond.
Co-chairman, supervisors, it is my my job and my goal to communicate with the county executive about the agendas of the IGR committee and to be prepared to comment as well as he is prepared to comment and take a position on that legislation. Again, you know, my job is to communicate positions and to help advise on the creation of a position for the county executive. If the county executive does not wish to take a position, then there's nothing to communicate at that point.
That.
But I will certainly be
such.
Absolutely, as we did my first week here, we had an IGR committee meeting. Dr. Colton and I sat down, reviewed the agenda, and then I went over it with the county executive to be prepared to answer questions should they come up.
So you would be working with Dr. Colton?
Well, Dr. Colton, as attending this meeting as the Director of Legislative Affairs and relating to you in that regard,
okay.
Certainly will be in consultation.
I just want to make
yep.
sure it makes sense for some consultation to occur before the Intergovernmental Relations
yeah.
Committee meeting. It just makes some sense
right.
to me.
I think if you were ever to follow me around for the day, you will find that the county executive and I stay in pretty close communication about a lot of things that are happening. So.
Could be his guard. Thank you, Mr. Peterson.
That has been commented on. So. I did play defensive tackle for a reason.
Supervisor Taylor had a question over here.
Thank you. Okay, so I just want to go over a scenario once. So we all know that the county board sets the policy for the county, takes a position on an issue. You're in Madison lobbying on behalf of the county exec who has a different stance on an issue. How do you make it clear? What's the method of making it clear to the state reps or their staff that you are speaking on behalf of
Certainly.
The county exec and not Milwaukee County? Well, I mean, is there a little flyer that says, here's the ruling from the attorney general? I mean, I want to know exactly when you're there, how are you making it clear that you are not speaking on behalf of the county, but only one person, the county exec?
Chairman, supervisors, Supervisor Taylor, and others, it is my job to communicate, just as is Ms. Kuhn's job, to represent the principal, to if we are in disagreement, that I am representing, and I would say, to the best, this is what I would say, I'm representing the county executive on this matter. In our written materials, such as some emails that have gone out, that we have supported bills the county executive has, one on child support refund offsets. In consultation with Director Sullivan, we've changed that. My name appears in the memo from me, Intergovernmental Relations Liaison, on behalf of Milwaukee County Executive Chris Abley, supporting that bill, simply because IGR has not taken a position on it yet. So that is how we communicate in written and both in oral form. Where we are in agreement, whether in support, opposition, or even a no position in agreement between the two parties, then we will represent Milwaukee County together as Milwaukee County. So in those cases, the letterhead will always be different and represent our principles. And that is the similar case that happens at the City of Milwaukee as well.
What is the $55,000 you have for operation costs in the budget?
I understand that to be supplies and sundries. I am going to defer to Director Fudge because I was not here during the creation of the budget. So,
Mr. Chairman and Supervisors, $30,000 of that is in the services appropriation unit and $25,000 is in the commodities.
And what are the services?
As soon as we get our computer unlocked, I can tell you specifically what they are. We placed $30,000 just in the sundry services account because we obviously don't really have a budget or experience for this office yet, so that enables them to spend it on pretty much whatever they want, and the same with the commodities. It's in the sundry materials account.
You know, Mr. Peterson, I'm happy to have you aboard. I think you're a good hire, and these can be difficult discussions sometimes. And I do have some questions regarding the salary structure for Director Fudge or Dr. Colton. I only know what I read in the paper, but I believe that when Mr. Peterson was hired, it was reported that he was being paid $85,000, and that I don't know if that's true or not. And now you're recommending, I think, that both he and Ms. Kuhn are at $98,000. So, and again, you can fall on the JEQ or whatever, but how does this fit into all of our other employees, you know, getting 1.5% raises potentially when, you know, I think Mr. Peterson is worth every nickel, state for the record. But we do have to make difficult choices. So it feels like Ms. Marine is here to answer.
Chairman, Supervisors, I'm not sure I entirely understand your question, but it was reported that Eric was hired at $85,000. He is not currently making that much because the salary line for that position does not go that high.
So that report was mistaken?
Yes.
Okay.
As I told you before, both positions are undergoing the JEQ currently. And we're awaiting the outcome of that to set Eric's final salary. The intent, if you're asking about Jamie Kuhn's specific salary, is even if the JEQ says that perhaps the salary should be less, our intent would not to mess with the board's appointee on that matter.
Is the policy then of the county exec going to be if the JEQ comes in at less, then if there's an incumbent in that position, no one will be lowered, but if it comes in higher, everybody goes higher?
I am speaking only for the position in government affairs that reports to the board. Because of the sensitivity of that, we absolutely would defer to the board on that matter.
I understand.
I am not speaking more broadly on the compensation analysis.
That was my question, though. That was my question, to ask you to speak more broadly.
I think that would be best directed to the HR department. What we have asked departments to do so far is basically to manage the recommendations of the compensation analysis within their budgets as they best see fit given the recommendations that they're handed.
Well, presumably the HR department would carry out the county executive's policies and orders, right?
I assume so.
So if the county executive said, well, you know, we're going to, if there's a JEQ that says all incumbent employees go up in the pay range, we're going to follow that. But if there's a JEQ that says that incumbent employee shouldn't get that pay, we aren't going to follow that. They would follow. I think what's going to happen is you know, Director Mitchell might come here and say, well, you know, we have direction from the county executive, but we aren't going to do this. So I'm sort of asking you, and maybe you can have a discussion with the county executive and get back to me what your intention is on the JEQ if positions come back at a lower level, and what and their incumbents, what you plan to do. I would just appreciate that answer.
Chairman, supervisors, absolutely. I think that would be an appropriate discussion for the October cycle, and we can discuss that further.
Okay.
One follow-up.
Supervisor Lipscomb?
Thank you. Relative to the $50,000 operating budget, is it an expectation that will be divided equally, or do you think that you have that it's your prerogative to be able to deny travel or other expenses that your counterpart deems necessary to effectuating her job?
Chairman, I think he already answered that. He said he's not her supervisor. So,
right. Well, but he did say that he controls the money. He signs off on travel and
Chairman and supervisors.
Everything else.
Certainly, Ms. Kuhn and I are friends, and we have worked together for a long time. Legitimate expenses related to IGR are going to be approved. I do not see this budget as my pot of money or the executive's pot of money to do as they see, but related to the mission of government affairs, for both principals to be able to adequately represent themselves to the legislature, to local governments, and to the federal government as well. So that is my best answer that I can give you.
Do you consider that those operating expenses would be roughly equally distributed then?
Sir, not having had, Supervisor Chairman, not having had any experience in how this budget has operated as an executive office, I don't think any of us can speak with how exactly it's going to be. We presume it to be split. I can say that I believe it will be as fair as it is allowed to be. I mean, depending on what is submitted and what is requested by the different principals out of that.
Is that part of your services budget? Or not? Is this...
Are you... Is what part of our services budget?
If there's whatever travel expenses back and forth to Madison,
certainly,
to Washington, so
yes.
That would be part of the $30,000
yes.
Services. Well, we've had some fun with Mr. Peterson today. Any other questions of him? Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, supervisors. I appreciate it. Look forward to working.